Hello and welcome to Reasonably Fit. We're Jason and Lauren Pack, and this is the podcast for anyone who wants a more thoughtful and grounded approach to health and fitness.
As of right now, this podcast is still ad-free, but if you'd like to support us, the best way to do so is by leaving a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts, or by checking out our Rise program, which is linked in the show notes.
All right, welcome back to the podcast.
Ooh, that sounded a little raspy.
I tried to make it a little bit more sultry. Hello.
You're doing another... Midnight. No, I still got it wrong. Bedtime magic.
Bedtime magic.
Yeah. So for anyone who didn't see our Instagram stories, last episode, Jason had a little like sultry introduction. Mm-hmm. And we were referencing David Allen Boucher, who does bedtime magic. And I thought in my head that he was like an international radio host that maybe every like city, major city has a version of him. But he apparently was just a Boston radio host. So... probably like 99% of you had no idea. Like,
what are you talking about? Bedtime magic? What?
I also called it midnight magic instead of bedtime magic. I feel like that's a whole other radio station altogether. But anyway, welcome back.
Yeah.
Here we are.
So something I wanted to share with the podcast. This has been an important revelation in my life.
Oh my gosh.
And it is taking B complex vitamins.
Oh my gosh.
So this is not backed by any sort of like medical research. I'm not telling you to take this, but we took a B complex vitamin on the recommendation of one of our friends at a wedding, and she swore by it as a hangover cure. So take it before you start you start drinking, and the next day you're going to feel so much better. And at this point in our lives, Lauren and I drink one glass of wine. And we're hungover for 2 days straight. It's like, it's not good. And so we were like, we'll try anything. And so we tried it. And the next morning, we're like, actually, we feel pretty good. And I kind of didn't think too much about it. And then the other day, Lauren was walking through the aisles of CVS with me. And Lauren's like, should we get B-complex vitamins? Like, I'm getting vitamin D. Like, should we just try to get some B-complex vitamins? And I was like, sure, why not? And I took it. And then a couple days later, I started feeling really good. Really energized, really focused. And I'd been telling Lauren that I felt like my vision was starting to, I feel like I couldn't really concentrate with my vision. I felt like I had brain fog. I felt like I had low energy. And I was just chalking this all up to a lack of sleep. Lack of sleep, sicknesses running through the family constantly. And I just chalked it up to that. But ever since taking these B complex vitamins, I feel just on fire. I feel revved up. I feel focused. My vision isn't like scattered. I just feel like really dialed in. And we're probably going to get some medical professional being like, you are like, you can't take too much of this and blah, blah, blah. I just feel really good on it.
You're being so funny because like, so I've also, you convinced me, you influenced me. You're like, we got to take these every day. Cause I was just getting vitamin D. That's what I was like going to the store for because it's winter and I know I need more vitamin D these days. And you were like, oh yeah, like I took a B complex yesterday and I feel so great.
I feel amazing.
Like, you sound like an MLM marketer. Like you literally sound like you're trying to convince me to take your like magic potion pill. You're like claiming all of these things happened overnight for you by taking one B complex.
Instantaneously. I cannot attribute it to anything else.
I know.
It's so weird.
But I'm just here to be the voice of reason that I've also been taking B complex and I feel fine.
But some of you might have a deficiency and I just got the... was it the Nature Made or Nature Bounty at CVS? It probably wasn't that expensive. For those of you who are experiencing some similar symptoms.
Oh my God, this is not medical advice.
It's not medical advice, but just throwing it out there.
Okay,
friendly advice.
I'm just putting the disclaimer on it. Because
heavy disclaimer.
heavy disclaimer.
But I love it.
This is just Jason's experience, personal experience.
But this is interesting. We were talking, Lauren and I were talking how when we were first in the fitness industry, multivitamins were all the rage like 20 years ago. It was like you had the One-A-Days, you had the Centrum. Every company had a multivitamin. And then there was a lot of research being like, oh, you just pee it out. Like you don't actually absorb the nutrients or water soluble, like blah, blah, blah. And then Lauren and I went through a phase of, I don't know, like 10, 15 years where we were like, you don't need a multivitamin. It's like not that important. Like you can get all the nutrients from food. But now here I am like, you need this multivitamin to live your life. All right, let's get back to the topic at hand.
Okay. I feel like this was a really weird intro.
No, people are going to have their minds blown. Lauren and I just had a whole side conversation for the last 5 minutes asking if she should take this part out of the podcast, whether or not her disclaimers were enough. Just be warned, heavy disclaimer, but I was like, Lauren, if we were talking about fish oil or vitamin D, you would have no issues with the recommendation. But vitamin D, vitamin B, you're like, this is like a narcotic.
No, essentially. No, I said it was the claims that you were making about what vitamin B is doing for you that seemed a little over the top. But I'm happy for you. I'm really happy for you. And honestly, sometimes you just need to believe something is working.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a combination of things going at play. Anyway, should we get into today's episode?
Let's get into the topic.
Okay, so I don't even think we introduced it, did we?
No.
We just started talking about vitamin B. Okay, so today's episode is actually going to kick off a little bit of a series that we're going to be doing, which is deep diving into each one of our 8 reasonably fit principles. So we did an episode probably like 10, 15, 20.
Episode 10, I believe.
Oh, it was episode 10.
Yeah.
So I don't know what number we're on now, but go back and listen to episode 10. It's called Our 8 Principles of Being Reasonably Fit. And we gave like a brief overview of each one, but today we want to start with number 1 and do a bit of a deep dive into it, give you some more examples so that hopefully you can come away from this episode feeling like, okay, I really have an understanding of what that means and how I can actually sort of implement this principle into my life.
Yeah. And a lot of these principles, I mean, all of these principles were derived from our experience as personal trainers and gym owners for the last 15 years. And we've kind of come up with these sorts of like little phrases and ideas to help people just stay on track and be more sustainable by taking a lot of the pressure off themselves and off of this whole idea of being quote unquote fit. And so we formulated these ideas, and hopefully with each and every deep dive, it'll help you to become a lot more flexible with your approach, a lot more sustainable with your approach, and enjoy the process a lot more.
Yeah, exactly. So the principle that we're going to go over is principle number 1, and it is make fitness fit into your life rather than take over your life. We reference this one probably the most because it's the one, I mean, it's number 1 for a reason. I think this is kind of like, if we were going to choose a single principle, it would be this one. It really does help set you up for success. And you can kind of take it at face value and understand what we mean. Like, make it fit into your life rather than take over your life. Your whole life doesn't have to be revolving around fitness. And the more you can actually make it more seamlessly fit into your life, the easier it's going to be, the more sustainable it's going to be. All the things that we talk about are going to happen for you. But today, let's talk about what that really looks like in practice, because it's a nice thing to say, but it might be like, okay, cool, how do I actually make that happen?
Yeah. And also taking it at face value, someone might read that and be like, well, like, is that approach going to make me not get results that I'm looking for, and kind of have these sort of doubts of having a more reasonable approach, because the industry is full of extreme approaches where it's like, you have to do this, you have to take out full food groups, full macronutrients, you have to do this insane workout plan. And we're telling
you, you have to take this B complex.
You have to take B complex in order to be successful. And yeah, we want you to be a little bit more reasonable with the approach. Maybe take a B complex every other day.
No. No, but the reasonable approach, I think that maybe what you're saying, Jason, too, is like, taking a more reasonable approach doesn't mean getting less results or like being less successful on your fitness journey. I think that's something that we might end up battling a little bit, is like, oh, they're just saying like, it's not that important. And like, we've dedicated the last 20 years of our lives to health and fitness and wanting to help people get healthier and fitter. And it obviously is important to us. And obviously we think that that's a really important quality to have in your life. And it improves your quality of life. But we do think that there's actually a better way to go about it than being so extreme. And it's to be more reasonable.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So we're going to outline 3 different sort of approaches or ways to look at this principle. So how to make fitness fit into your life rather than take over your life, or like why that is something that could be helpful for you.
Yeah, almost like sub principles that can kind of apply in different ways to your fitness.
Exactly. And so the first thing to think about is that approaching fitness in this way helps you to avoid the all or nothing approach, because I'm sure that most of you listening have gone through sort of like a challenge or a diet or something where you put all of your energy, everything you have, into accomplishing this sort of short-term goal. And then once you've accomplished it or you've done it or the challenge is over or whatever, then you're like, okay, I'm done. And then you completely either go back to what you were doing before or stop doing the new habits that you tried to create. Like, it's super intense and then all the way off and then super on and then all the way off, right?
Yeah, and like yo-yo dieting, it is kind of like a version of that where you're kind of on the whatever diet plan that you're on. And then because it's so restrictive and extreme after the period that you're supposed to be on it, then you come off of the diet in a probably a tougher fashion than you were previous to the diet. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And so that all or nothing approach is super prevalent, right? It's really like, and I think a lot of people think it's the way to go, or not all or nothing. Nobody thinks like all or nothing is the way to go. But people think that doing a challenge or a diet or something really intense is going to like kickstart something sustainable or kickstart their fitness journey. And that like going all in at the beginning is going to help them just stay all in. Mm-hmm. And that's just almost never the case, because when you have such extreme measures that you need to take in order to be successful, as soon as you can't meet those extreme measures, which is all the time when you live a real life, you feel like a failure. You start to go through sort of like this self-loathing period of feeling like you'll never be able to do this. You'll never be a fit person. You're never going to be a healthy person. And then you immediately start to go into that downward spiral of it's not even worth it. Why would I even keep trying? And then you quit and you give up.
Yeah. And you go through this sort of like 2 or 3 week period where you're able to block out everything going on in your life and you're able to do that successfully. But then at a certain point, just life sets in, reality sets in where you can't actually manage, put all of your energy into this one basket because there's so many other areas of your life that are demanding your attention. And then you can only put it off for so long, whether it is work commitments or family commitments or just overall life commitments, something is going to pull you away. And as soon as that happens, it's almost like a house of cards because you've been so forcefully putting this thing together, but not really having it fit into the overall context of your life.
And I think one reason that this can be a little bit hard to like internalize is because a lot of people feel like, okay, but I know, like if they've done that challenge or whatever, they could end up feeling like, well, I know I can do that. So I know I can work out 7 days a week because I did it that month and I was able to make time for it. And now I'm just lazy, or now I'm just not like making the time for myself. And they kind of like talk themselves into believing that that was possible, doable, and anything less is not like living up to their potential. And I think that can be a really hard like push and pull, because you're like, in one way you want to do everything that you possibly can to be your healthiest self. And so you get motivated and you get excited and you're like, I know I can do this. And then in another way, you're like, anything like less than that is failure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this also happens where people are in a really good groove and then that one thing happens and they look back and blame it on that thing. It's like, oh, if I didn't have to go on that work trip, or if something random didn't come up, like then I could have been successful on this path. Like the path wasn't the fault. Like it was that one thing.
Yeah.
And you can kind of get into this trap and then you're like trying to wait for the perfect time. Like you're trying to wait for New Year's to start that perfect path again. Or you're trying to wait for Labor Day to start that perfect path again. And again, this is all signs pointing to that you're not having this fitness journey fit into your life. You're trying to really orchestrate your entire life around that fitness journey.
Yeah. We have our RISE program, and I see basically two different approaches to things coming up in people's lives. So in our program, we have a 4-day-a-week option, a 3-day-a-week option, and a 2-day-a-week option. And all the time I'll get messages being like, I just started grad school and I'm moving and blah, blah, blah. I need to put a pause on my subscription. And I'm like, no problem. I mean, either way, it's no problem. And I'm like, I totally get it. You have a lot. It sounds like you have a lot going on. But then I'll get a nearly identical message like, I'm starting grad school, I'm moving, I have all this stuff going on. Can I switch to a 2-day-a-week program? And that's just a completely different mindset. It's basically saying like, I have a lot going on in my life. I need to scale back, but keep it going, as opposed to I just need to take this off my plate completely. Because when you take it off your plate completely, you almost allow yourself to just not care and to lose like so much of any like progress that you gained. Like you're just basically quitting on your fitness journey or quitting on your life and just being like, I'm just going to not even think about this right now. Yeah. And that's really not where we want anyone to be. Like, we always want people to be able to incorporate something into their life that is improving their health and improving their quality of life so that they feel strong and they feel good. And if that means scaling back to one or two workouts per week for the time being, that's a great approach. And that's a way to make it fit into your life, as opposed to it's taking over your life, but it's so overwhelming that at a certain point you hit your breaking point and then you just have to quit.
Yeah. I think one of the best sort of analogies that I've heard about staying more consistent and treating fitness as a more sustainable approach is the whole light switch versus light dimmer mentality, right? Like, there usually when fitness is talked about, it's kind of like you're either on or you're off. But this analogy, I don't even know where we heard from in the first place, but it's just all about like what we always talk about of just being flexible depending on what is going on in your life at that moment. And you're able to either dim that light down to kind of scale back a little bit, or you can make it brighter if you have the time and you have the availability to kind of go a little bit further into working out and whatnot. So you're able to kind of like shift back and forth and not have it be a big deal while just going through life and trying to, you know, fit your fitness into your life.
Exactly. And that actually kind of takes us into the next little segment of this episode perfectly, because we also want you to consider taking this statement, making fitness fit into your life rather than take over your life, taking it one step further and saying, make fitness fit into your season of life. Because what worked for you in your teens or in your 20s isn't what's going to work for you in your 30s or your 40s or your 50s or your 60s or into retirement. Like, every season, and not that seasons have to be decades, but that was just a clean way to say it. But each season of your life is going to require different things from you and is going to allow for different amounts of health and fitness and all other things in your life, different amounts of it to fit. It's almost like a little puzzle, and like fitness is one jigsaw puzzle piece. And sometimes it's a large puzzle with a lot of little pieces, and sometimes it's a small puzzle with like only four pieces. And in those cases, you have a lot more fitness, right? And then in the case where you have kids and you're in grad school and you have responsibilities and you have all these things going on, fitness might be a smaller puzzle piece, and you still want to make a way to fit that puzzle piece into the puzzle, but it's not going to be as big of a thing.
Yeah. Now, when we talk about season of life, I think when you think about season, you think of, you know, multiple months in a row, or I mean, you were talking about even decades, right? Like, to not compare yourself if you are 30 to what you were in your 20s, right? Because in your 20s, you were probably working out at your college gym. You didn't have that many responsibilities. You probably could eat at a cafeteria where someone could cook for you. Like, all these things play into, you had more time to commit to your health and fitness. You had more energy and just mental wherewithal to put into your health and fitness. But now perhaps you might be older with kids, with a job, like all that sort of stuff. That's going to pull you away a little bit more, which is why you have more puzzle pieces to try to fit this fitness puzzle in. But also, a season of life can be a month, or it could be a week, or it could be a day. Like, you want to just be able to acknowledge what is going on in that current moment. And that helps to kind of give yourself grace to not compare yourself to previous moments in your life. Because, like, I mean, Laura and I right now, we are operating on almost like a 2 weeks of good health followed by 2 or 3 weeks of bad health. Like, that's kind of like these seasons that we're in right now. Yeah. Like, sometimes we're in a good season, sometimes we're in a bad season, and they last for about 2 to 3 weeks at a time.
Right, because one of our kids gets it for a week, and then the next kid gets it for a week, and then we each get it for a week. And so basically it's like the whole month somebody has been sick.
Yeah, exactly. Or someone goes through a sleep regression, or someone has whatever phase is going on. And we just try to take advantage as much as we can when things are going well. And then when the kids are sick or whatever is happening, we just try to get that dimmer switch dimmed a little bit, do what we can, but not beat ourselves up over it too much.
Yeah. And it's easy to say, like, I will say that this week I was sick. I caught what Kinsley had. And so I'm just kind of coming out of it. And I haven't lifted in almost a week at this point. And like the last 2 days I've been like on my way to feeling better, but definitely not feeling great. But I've been like very much feeling bad about the fact that I haven't lifted. Like, I've been annoyed. I've been getting like frustrated. And you go down, I see you go downstairs to lift and I'm like jealous. And I'm like it's easy to, like, you're still going to have moments where you're like upset that you missed a workout and things like that. Like, it's not just like, oh, no big deal, I don't care. Because if I didn't care, then I probably wouldn't really care in general about my health and fitness. So it's like, not to say that you just need to not care and let it go and like, just be chill, whatever. Like, we just want to acknowledge that it's okay. Mm-hmm. And you can still be frustrated. You can still be annoyed that you're sick again. And like, I was going to max out my bench press this week and that didn't happen. Like, you know, I'm annoyed. I'm a little frustrated, yeah. But I'm not letting it get to the point where I'm not going to just start my program tonight because I'm feeling better. And like, I'm just going to get back to doing what we do and try to just let go of whatever ideas I had for how this week was going to go. It's like, it's done. It happened. I was sick. And now we just move forward.
Yeah. And you know that you're not going to magically lose all the gains that you've been building up to. Like, you're kind of getting a little bit of like a little bump in the road. But yeah, ultimately, if you've been listening to this podcast long enough, like, you know that you're able to zoom out and be like, oh, this is just a tiny, tiny blip in my fitness journey radar, right? Like, if you log all of the workouts, it's just a few missed workouts in the grand scheme of things, and you're not going to be losing any progress.
Yeah. So yeah, this part is kind of two-pronged, but allow yourself to embrace the season of life that you're in. Make a plan that works with the season of life that you're in. So don't just say, I'm in a busy season, so I give up. Like, just make a plan that embraces that season. And then also just make sure that you're not comparing yourself to someone who's in a completely different season. I think this is so easy to do with social media, is you're inspired by someone who is, you know, super fit and works out all the time. And so you start following them on Instagram, and then you see that they have this like morning routine and this nutrition routine, and you start watching what they eat in a day, and you realize that they prep their meals for 5 hours beforehand and like all this stuff. And you're like, I can't do all of that. I'll never be that fit. And like, you start to feel disappointed. And it's like, instead of just saying, okay, I can see that that person is just in a completely different stage of their life. Good for them. Like, I'm not saying anything negative about that person. That's great if they can do that and they feel comfortable in that and that's what they like to do. But that doesn't mean that you have to do all of that to be fit, to be healthy, to be somebody who cares about your fitness and your health. You can just figure out what that looks like for you in this moment.
Yeah. And we often talk about scaling things back and putting the dimmer down, but you can also think about this in terms of increasing the dimmer, yeah, or like making it brighter. Like, you might just be coming off this really big work project, and you know that for the next 2 months, things are going to be kind of calming down. The holidays are kicking on. Like, this could be a time for you to ramp things up as well. And we want to make sure that we're kind of honoring both sides of all this. We typically go for the other side just because it is a side that needs to be talked about more often, because yeah, fitness is usually talked about and like, always ramp it up and whatnot. But we're just telling you to honor whatever's going on in your life personally.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. All right. You keep giving me perfect segues, because the next and final like section of this episode is embracing your personal preferences. So what you enjoy doing, because a lot of times we think that there are components of fitness that we have to do or that we should do, and we try to force them. For me, this was running for a long time.
For a lot of people, yeah.
And for a lot of people, I think that's the case. Like, I just thought I had to do, or just like cardio in general, that I had to do an hour of cardio a day, because I don't even know why, but that was just something I thought I had to do. And when I finally was like, I don't enjoy this, and I was able to replace that with strength training that made me feel so much better, that I personally enjoyed more, I gained so much out of it. I was like, why was I spending all my time doing something I hated? Because yeah, also I'd be much more likely to make an excuse to not run, mm-hmm, because I hated it, than I would be to make an excuse to not lift because I actually liked it.
Yeah.
And that's just a personal preference. For some of you listening, you might be like, I love running. I'm definitely not telling you to stop running. What I'm telling you is to embrace running and to let that be a part of your fitness routine. Even if somebody like me says, I don't like to run, that doesn't mean that it's not good for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've had so many conversations with people where they come in, like, let's say they came into our gym, Achieve Fitness, they came in and we'd be talking through the consultation and they'd ask about cardio. And we'd tell them, well, actually, like, what is it about cardio that makes you want to do it? And they're like, oh, well, I feel like I think I should, and I needed to do it to lose weight and move more and blah, blah, blah. And we would tell them, well, you know, like we're going to get some aerobic benefit within the workout session itself. And let's focus on building muscle. And like, let's just focus on the gym side of things. And it's almost like a relief, like a wave of relief that goes over them. You're like, oh, they're not just going to go make me run a 5K or just make me run a bunch just because, like, there are other ways to attain their fitness goals beyond just running. And so, yeah, what we wanted to talk about for this specific point, and we try to touch on this often because we do talk about strength training in a very preferred way or our recommended approach. But again, if you like to bike or if you like to hike or do Zumba or yoga or whatever modality that just brings you joy and enjoyment with fitness, that's what we want you to stick with and not have other people's sort of like pressures put upon you to switch things up to not enjoy that anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, basically don't let anyone rain on your parade. If you love something, don't let somebody else tell you that's not good if it's movement and if it's enjoyable and if it brings you some health benefits, like let that be enjoyable. Then you can also consider what are your personal goals, because that's also something to consider. So, and those two things might be slightly different or competing. So let's say you're like, I really enjoy like meditative yoga, but I want to get my first pull up. Like those two things, they're not going to happen with each other.
Yeah, so, they're not in alignment.
Exactly. So you might say, okay, so I love my meditative yoga, so I'm not going to take that away, but I'm going to make time to do pull-up practice 3 times a week or something like that. So you still, and then you start to piece together what is your personal program and your split and all these things based on like all of the factors. So based on your goals, based on your preferences, based on what brings you joy, all of those things are going to work together in and create this plan that makes sense for you.
Yeah. And I think it's just so helpful to really just sit down and think about what is actually important to you in terms of health and fitness. Like, what is it that makes you enjoy working out and being physically active and just enjoying a healthy lifestyle? And now the fitness industry will make it seem like everyone needs to have a goal of losing 10 to 20 pounds or having this goal of gaining 10 pounds of muscle or whatever it is. But that's often, those are just kind of like side effects of what happens while being on a healthy lifestyle. And so you might as well enjoy that process and figure out what is actually important to you. Whether a lot of people for, you know, at our gym, they would talk about body weight goals like push-ups and pull-ups because it's so like empowering to their daily life. It has so much carryover, or like lifting a certain amount of weight or running a certain amount of mileage or completing a sprint triathlon. There are all these sorts of things that got them more jazzed about fitness in general. And that's what we want you to kind of just sit down and really think about what actually drives you to move in an enjoyable fashion.
Yeah. And let that be like ever changing as well. Like it doesn't have to be, I'm a runner, so I'm always going to be a runner. It can be like, I love lifting, so I'm gonna try to see if I can do a triathlon, or I'm going to try to see if I can do this because I like a personal challenge or I like a goal. A lot of people like to have something to work toward. They like a challenge. And so like embrace doing random different things if you want to. Like, and then once you choose the thing, have a very clear path to get there. Like not a random path to get there, but don't feel like you need to always be a lifter or you always need to be a runner or you always need to be a yoga person. Like you don't have to put yourself in a small box. You can allow yourself to explore all different modalities and find what you actually really enjoy.
Yeah. We had lots of people at our gym and also on the Rise program where let's say they were an endurance athlete, like a runner or whatever, and they would in the spring and summer, they would dial back to around 1 to 2 days a week of strength training and dial up their endurance activity to 3 or 4 days a week. And then in the winter, they would dial back the endurance activity and scale up the strength training. So yeah, it really is dependent on what, nothing is ever set in stone basically.
Yeah.
And you want to be as flexible as possible and just be organic with it.
Yeah, and all of this will make it feel like less of a chore. Like it'll make it feel like less of a burden on you. Like I have to go do my workout that I don't enjoy, that somebody told me I have to do.
And ultimately, that is the main reason why we think this is ultimately so much of a more effective approach to getting results than the all or nothing approach, than the really accelerated, like, just dive headfirst and put all of my energy into this one thing sort of approach. Because eventually with that approach, you're going to burn out, you're going to plateau, you're going to get hurt. Like, all those sorts of things will happen because you're trying to accelerate the process and hack your way through the whole fitness journey process. Mm-hmm. Instead of treating this as a lifelong journey and being as consistent as possible and as sustainable as possible for a really long period of time. And I think that's why when you look back and you kind of zoom out, you're like, oh, I'm able to make so much more progress because I've been doing this for years and years and years.
Yeah, exactly. So while it may come across as something that is less exciting,
yeah,
right? Like, it's not like we're not in your face, like, you got to do this. We're not like providing you this like kick of adrenaline and motivation. Like, it's kind of boring to say, like, just make it fit into your life. Just figure out how it fits into your life.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty, you know, it's pretty non-exciting, but it is actually going to get you the most consistent results and allow you to be flexible so that fitness doesn't feel like this overwhelming, annoying thing that you have to do. It feels like something that actually brings you a lot of value and a lot of joy and a lot of like happiness in your life.
Yeah. One quote I really like, it was from Bill Gates, and he talked about how most people overestimate what they can do in 1 year and underestimate what they can do in 5 years. It was something along those lines. And now that was talking mainly about like business and personal development and stuff like that. I think you can kind of truncate it when it, in terms of fitness. Like, I feel like most people overestimate what they can do in the span of an 8 or 12 week program or challenge, but they underestimate what they can do in the span of a year or 2 years. Like, you can be dramatically different physically, mentally, spiritually in a span of a year or two if you are just consistent with strength training a few times a week, eating nutrient-dense foods, and focusing on your sleep quality, your hydration, your mental health, like focusing on that sort of stuff in a very reasonable pace. Like, you will be dramatically different than if you were to do this aggressive 4 week plan here and then kind of come off of it, and then a 4 week plan there and come off of it. In fact, you're going to be more stressed, more affected, and more just kind of anxious about the whole process than the other way around.
Yeah.
Where you're much more relaxed, at ease, and able to enjoy it and feel like it's something that you get to do rather than what you have to do.
Yeah. All right. So all of that to say, make fitness fit into your life rather than take over your life. Principle number one of our favorites. We really feel like it encapsulates what we're trying to do with this whole reasonably fit approach. Mm-hmm. So we hope that that gives you some food for thought, some things to think about to figure out how can you make this a little bit more of a seamless process? How can you enjoy it a little bit more? And yeah, we can't wait to hear what you do. Actually, that'd be fun. Tell us in the comments of today's Instagram post, what do you do to make fitness fit into your life? Like, how have you taken this approach and run with it? We'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
Speaking of comments, I want to read this from our Rise group because it's just made us really happy.
Yeah.
So shout out to Sarah Travers. She's the one who left this comment on the group and clearly listens to the podcast. So hopefully she's hearing this, but she messaged everyone. She said, or wrote in the forum, yesterday doing lunges, my left knee felt wrong, sort of pain, but not enough that I thought something was injured. But also if I kept going, I was definitely going to do some damage. I got annoyed and left the gym. I also happened to just recently listen to the injury podcast by Jason Lauren. Today I went back to the gym, made a few revisions to my workout, and I feel so proud. It's a non-scale victory for me because in the past, once I felt injured or almost injured, I would quit and wait weeks to go back to the gym if I returned at all. Yay me, LOL. But this is so awesome and kind of does go with today's episode too. I mean, she's referring to an injury, which isn't what we were talking about, but she's mentioning that in the past, she would have taken an all or nothing approach. Like, I got injured, I'm frustrated, I'm annoyed, I'm mad, I'm going to just stop going to the gym until I completely feel fine. And instead she was like, okay, my knee hurts a little bit, I can go to the gym and do an upper body workout. I don't know how she made her adjustments, but she got around the feeling of frustration, the feeling of failure, and went into it with this feeling of, what can I do? And that is something that I hope everybody can take away from her little story and from today's episode, is like, think about what can you do, not all of the things that you don't have time for or all of the things that you can't get in. What can you get in? And let that be a starting off point for you.
Yeah, and this goes hand in hand with today's topic, where people might think of a reasonable approach as being inferior, but in fact, this is the exact reason why it's superior, right? You're able to adapt to whatever life is throwing at you and not have this all or nothing approach where things are ideal or perfect or a perfect situation. You're able to adjust and be flexible and adapt to situations because you are able to be more fluid with everything.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was really fun. Thank you, Sarah, for sharing that with us. Hopefully you're listening today so you can feel the love and the shout out because we were really excited to get that comment.
Yeah.
All right, so that is what we have for you today. We will be back next week expanding on another reasonably fit principle. At least that's our plan. Hopefully we're in a place of getting ahead and actually recording some of these episodes so that I don't have to turn it over in like
3 hours.
3 hours, because that's what has been going on for the last couple times. But anyway, next week, plan on having us back solo episode for another deep dive. And if you wouldn't mind leaving us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts, that would be so appreciated.
I was just going to shout out who had left the most recent review on iTunes. It was actually Sarah.
Sarah. No way. Yeah. Oh my God. That's so funny. Funny. Amazing. Thanks, Sarah. The whole outro is dedicated to you.
All right, I think that's about it for today. Until next time,
sweat out,
happiness in.